Welcome to The West Steps. The West Steps is a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign that explores issues that impact Colorado kids and families. I'm your host, Beza Tedes. Welcome back to The West Steps. And this week, I'm really excited to have this conversation with our guests because I think there are very few episodes a season that we do that are in-depth explainers of some of the most consequential policies at the legislature. And this year, I'm really excited about some of the large infrastructure level work that's being done. And I'm so grateful that our guest made the time for us today. So I'm going to let her introduce herself. And then I have a million and one questions.
Thank you, Beza. This is Sarah Barnes, and I am the Manager of Special Policy Initiatives at the Colorado Children's Campaign, and lucky to get to work on some of our family economic prosperity work with a number of amazing partners and folks here, and are working on a really exciting bill this session that I'm looking forward to talking about today.
So this bill that we are going to jump in depth about is the TANF bill. And as listeners of the West Step know, that not long ago, we did an episode, kind of a more general TANF conversation as to why, you know, what kind of families receive TANF and what and why the need for it. But I think it's worth maybe taking one step back and really, really examining what TANF is. So Sarah, before we jump into some of the in-depth policies, can you talk us through what it is? What is TANF?
Yeah, sure. So TANF is the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. It's a federal program. States get federal funds every year, and they implement that program at the state level. In Colorado, the TANF program is also known as Colorado Works. And the program is designed to really provide assistance to families who are experiencing extreme poverty. So this means they're living far below even half of the federal poverty level. So getting by on very, very little to no income. And as we know, at the Children's Campaign, when kids and families experience extreme poverty, it really has a long-lasting impact on kids' outcomes as it both, you know, during their childhood, but also as they become adults. So it's really important to think about the ways to provide supports to these families. And one of the ways the TANF does that is it provides basic cash assistance to these families who are experiencing extreme poverty. And that allows them to meet, you know, some of those really basic necessities that families need, like food and diapers and clothing and rent. And so that is one of the really important things that the TANF program does. And it also, you know, helps families and parents get connected to work and to employment and to meeting the goals they want to make in their careers. And that's another really important thing that the program does as well.
So that I'm 100% clear on this. So we're not talking about kind of our average families. We're talking about single households, single parent households, and in that household, we're talking about extreme poverty, and this is trying to help that family kind of meet some of the basic needs on their road to kind of working themselves out of financial extreme poverty. Is that right? What we're talking about?
Yes, when we're talking about families, yes, who are facing some of the greatest barriers to economic security. And we're talking about families who are either raising or expecting children.
So, you know, we're talking about, in that spectrum, we're talking about the most, families that are experiencing the biggest, kind of the largest and most cumulative barriers to well-being. So what is the current structure of TANF? Like, how much does a family of three receive? What do they have to do to receive it? How accessible is it? What is the eligibility, accessibility question? How is it structured currently in Colorado?
So right now, in order for a family to qualify for basic cash assistance in the Colorado Works program in TANF in Colorado, you have to be making, so if you're a parent who's raising two kids, you have to be making less than $421 a month to qualify. So that's the eligibility criteria to receive that basic cash assistance. So we really are talking about families living in very extreme poverty. You do qualify for cash assistance in TANF, and again, you're a parent with two kids, you currently receive $508 a month in basic cash assistance. And like I said, that helps you afford some of those very basic necessities. But as we all know, if you are a family trying to raise two kids in Colorado right now, $508 a month is not sufficient to meet even the most basic critical needs that your family is going to have.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking anything from diapers to rent to all sorts of things that, you know, imagine having the stress of, you know, having to raise two children and having to do it on $500 is insanity. Yeah.
In addition to that, I'd add that it is a difficult program to navigate. So it is not particularly straightforward. It has a lot of onerous requirements, and so not only is the basic cash assistance payment not enough for families to meet their basic needs, but the hoops they have to jump through to navigate the program are very difficult. And we've heard that from folks throughout the process of thinking about this policy.
Maybe you can share what some of those hoops are, because I think for somebody who's never had to like navigate through receiving a government program, it's almost kind of that reality doesn't exist. What kind of hoops that these families who are having some of the hardest times that they're having are experiencing?
Yeah, so to start off, we've heard folks express the fact that you really have to know about the program and ask for it to even be able to, you know, access it at all. And so it's not particularly clear, and you know, families aren't particularly aware of the existence of it necessarily, who might be eligible and could benefit from it. And then within the program itself, it's just, you know, there are requirements families have to meet in terms of showing their eligibility, and in terms of meeting certain work and education requirements, and those systems that they have to navigate within are often complex. They often vary across the state. We've heard, you know, families talk about varying experiences with the information they're receiving, the level of a communication they're receiving about the program when they're involved. And just that the system is not currently serving the families who are in it the best that it could, because it is just really complex and a lot of times an opaque process for them. Mm-hmm.
This is just for my own curiosity, but ignore if you don't know the answer to this, but you know, if a family is experiencing extreme poverty, chances are they're also experiencing some kind of housing instability. And if they're still being communicated through mail, what does the state do to keep informing families?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just highlighting another complication, right? Is that many of these families are experiencing housing insecurity. Some of them are experiencing homelessness. They're moving frequently. They might be living with a relative or a friend. And that just compounds the complexity of trying to navigate the program, meet the various requirements that they need to meet while trying to meet all of their other needs on a daily basis.
Mm. This makes me think about once a family is, let's say they somehow figured out that this program exists and somehow managed to get on this program. Once they have received the program, they're eligible, they're qualified, they're now signed up. What are the things that they have to do to maintain, to keep their access to this program?
Yeah, so they have to maintain eligibility. So in terms of, you know, there's only so much income you can earn while you're enrolled in the TANF program to stay eligible. And then in addition to that, they have to meet certain work requirements or education requirements that are laid out in the, you know, the plan that they work out with their case manager or with someone else when they start into the program.
Mm. So it seems that like almost kind of all aspect of the program requires some kind of edit. And we've heard kind of through, especially the last couple of months in the media about county reserves and state funding that is accessible for to rethink TANF and to update it so that it can keep up. So what are some of the big changes that are proposed in the new legislation this year?
Yeah, so the policy that we've been working on and we're working closely together with the Colorado Center on Law and Policy and then a TANF coalition, which is made up of several organizations, direct service providers, people who are directly impacted by the program. And that those groups of folks have been working, the TANF Coalition has been working together for years, actually, to think about ways to improve the TANF program, and has worked really hard over many, many months to think about this policy. And based on feedback from that, from coalition members, based on, you know, surveying that the coalition did of folks about some of the biggest issues with the TANF program, we have worked to put together a policy, which is the policy in House Bill 1259, that really hits on four areas of improvement for the TANF program. So I'm happy to walk through those.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And a little bit of depth. Yeah. But so I think the takeaway, you know, and something to remember to your point is that, what we've seen is that even during the COVID pandemic, when families were really struggling, we actually saw caseloads in TANF go down in Colorado. And so that's a signal to us that the program isn't currently serving families the way it needs to. It's not accessible and meeting families' needs the way it should be. And so that was one of the big impetus, you know, areas for impetus for improving this program. Mm. We do have TANF funds in our reserves in Colorado right now. And we want to make sure that those funds are serving our families in the state who are facing really significant barriers to economic security, and who are still probably the families who are furthest from economic recovery from the pandemic.
Mm, mm. Yeah, I mean, it's very cumulative, right? Like it's not the pandemic exacerbated some of these barriers that we see. But even before that, it wasn't like TANF was doing, you know, an incredible job of getting families out of poverty. But I think that the pandemic meant that even that was made worse by the difficulties of the pandemic. So what are those four kind of large elements of the bill?
Yeah, so the four big areas that the bill works to address is, number one, to increase basic cash assistance in the program and to ensure that it keeps up with the rising cost of living in Colorado.
You mean that is, that 7.6 increase in everyday goods that even those with livable wage cannot afford?
Exactly. The second big area is to think about other ways to improve the way the program is serving the families who are enrolled in it. Mm-hmm. The third area is looking at how to reduce or mitigate the cliff effect in the program that families experience and create a smoother off-ramp from the program as families exit the program. And then the last area is to improve outreach about the program, communication about the program with families who are enrolled, and also to increase families' voice in the decision, the places where decisions and recommendations are made about the TANF program in Colorado. So those are kind of the four big areas, and I'm happy to dig into those in a little bit more depth.
Yeah, I think maybe we can start with that cliff effect conversation, because I think that leads its way very well to that first point you made about increasing the cash assistance, because I think those two together are probably the strongest way we keep families out of extreme poverty. So what is the cliff effect, and why should we try to improve it?
Yeah, so cliff effect is something that I think we hear often when we're talking about families who might be accessing different sorts of public benefits. And the way it shows up in TANF in particular is that once a family is eligible and is enrolled in TANF, the moment they get a job, even a low paying job, they almost immediately become ineligible for TANF. And so just at that moment when they've connected to employment, they become ineligible and are disenrolled from TANF, and at a time when they're still trying to figure out sort of how to get their feet under them. Maybe they are looking for housing. Maybe they're working out their transportation arrangements for work. Maybe they're still working out childcare arrangements for their kids while they're working with their schedule. And at that moment where they're still trying to figure so many things out, they're already finding themselves ineligible and disenrolled from the program. Mm. And so we're looking at a few different ways to improve that, sort of mitigate that cliff effect, ensure that families have more of a chance to get their feet under them before they move off the program, and smooth that off ramp a little bit. So a couple of ways that we're looking at, that the bill is looking at that. One is to think about what is the amount of income that a family can make that and still be able to remain in the TANF programs for some period of time. Hmm. So right now in our TANF rules in Colorado, a participant can disregard 66%, two-thirds of their income for the first 6 months that they're enrolled in the program. So what the bill seeks to do is to kind of close that gap a little bit to say, for the first 6 months that a family is enrolled in the program and the parent is getting connected to employment, we will disregard 100% of their income during that 6 month period to allow them that little bit of time to get their feet under them. And then after that, there will be some sort of gradual step down of that, of what amount of their income is counted to ease that cliff effect and create more of an off ramp off of the program. And we're also asking in the bill the Department of Human Services to annually look at the what's called the need standard. It's the eligibility criteria that I mentioned about the program to say, how does this need to be updated to reflect the current economic conditions in the state? So right now, a family has to make less than $421 a month, a family of three, to qualify, requiring us to look at that and say, how does that need to be updated on an annual basis to make sure that it's reflecting the current conditions of what it costs to live in our state?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, I think, you know, when we talk about asking the state to increase that basic cash assistant, I think like for a lot of us, we're imagining something a bit dramatic than maybe what is proposed in the bill. Can you give us some more detail about, you know, how, you know, beyond that $520 or whatever that was, like how much further is there room to grow that basic cash assistance?
Yeah. So currently, if a family of three is able to access basic cash assistance through the TANF program of $508 a month, that puts them at about 28% of the federal poverty level. So that's still extreme poverty. So the coalition's goal is to increase the basic cash assistance payment for families to 50% of the federal poverty level, which is just bringing families out of extreme poverty. Anything below 50%
is poverty. So we're not, yes, you know, like we're not talking from extreme poverty to a livable wage, right? We're, yes, talking from extreme poverty to a level of poverty.
Exactly. So we're still talking about just lifting families right above that extreme poverty line by increasing the basic cash assistance payment to equal 50% of the federal poverty level. The bill does that over a period of 5 years. It's a gradual phase in of that increase. And then it would ensure that every year after that, it would stay at 50%. Which means that as the cost of living continues to increase in Colorado, as we know it will, that basic cash assistance for families who are eligible for TANF will stay at that 50% of the federal poverty level moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, this is a conversation we could probably carry for another 45 minutes or so. But as we come closer to the end, I think I want to talk about maybe, first of all, why this is important. I think there, you know, when an experience like this is so far away from our lived experience, I think there's a tendency to maybe not look too closely. So maybe we can talk a little bit about why you think this is important. And also, how can people get involved? Where can they go to make sure, like, Colorado kids and families are not living in extreme poverty?
Yeah, so I think, you know, one of the biggest reasons why this is needed is that, as we saw, the TANF program is not currently doing the best it can to serve families in Colorado. The TANF statute in Colorado has been updated in about 15 years. And so there are a lot of outdated practices in there that we need to improve. We also know that, you know, we were just talking about the basic cash assistance payment amount. One reason why those payments are so low is that they have not kept up with inflation. So the basic cash assistance payment hasn't adjusted for inflation since the TANF program was created. So it is, you know, very, very outdated for that reason. And we know that basic cash assistance is one of the most targeted approaches that Colorado has to alleviating extreme child poverty, because it places critical cash assistance in the hands of families who are experiencing extreme poverty so they can help meet some of those very basic needs of their kids and of their family. Mm-hmm. And so those are, you know, those are a few reasons why it's needed. We also know some of the other outdated parts of the program, things like really punitive sanctions against families when they, you know, fail to meet one of the complicated requirements of the program, they don't work. And they're often leveraged against families who are already facing some of the greatest barriers and only exacerbate those barriers. They don't actually do anything to help families be able to navigate the program better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's just a number of other areas of the program, like some of the onerous work requirements that can be updated to look at family needs, circumstances of hardship, various ways that we can be doing a better job of serving families in the program in our state.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for those who want to get involved and want to send, you know, their elected officials why they think this is important?
Yeah. So we I mentioned we have a coalition of folks working on this policy. If you are interested in joining that coalition or getting on the mailing list and keeping up with what's happening, you can reach out to anyone at the Children's Campaign, me or anyone else, and we will get you involved. We'll get you on the mailing list for that coalition. You can also follow our website, coloradokids.org. And we'll be updating there on, you know, upcoming legislative actions on the bill so that you can tune in to the hearings and hear the bill move through the process. So those are two really great ways that you can get involved in this policy.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sarah, for diving deep into the policy and also putting it in context so that not only we understand the need for it, but also understand the urgency why now is the time. Thank you so very much. And hopefully we'll talk about this again on the West Steps. But until then, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of The West Steps. The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. If you want to support our work, please visit our website at coloradokids.org. And see you next week. Thank you.